Good afternoon, everybody, or good evening, shall I say?
Good evening.
To God be the glory. Had a wonderful visit today with our son, Maurice, at the jail. I spent about 40 minutes with him, and I was asking the Lord, what should I say to him when I go and visit him? And the Holy Spirit reminded me, show him the face of Jesus. He needs to see Jesus and his Father. And I said, okay. When I walked in and visit him, he just started weeping. And I'm sitting there trying to go like, don't do this to me. I mean, no father wants to see his son behind bars.
He don't belong there.
And it just eats your heart out. But anyway, I began to share with him Jesus and God's intent for his life. And he was telling me how he's going to Bible study and he's telling other people to turn to the Lord. I said, but Maurice, you cannot, when you leave here, your life have to line up with your testimony. And that testimony must be in accordance with God's word. Amen. And so what you tell God, you have to honor it, because you got to remember, God doesn't renege on his promises to us. We usually renege on our promises to him. And as much as possible within you, you need to keep those promises to Lord Jesus. And so that was the admonition part from me to him. But then the love of God began to flow through me to him as a loving son of God myself, letting him see what a son who loves Christ truly looks like, so that he would know that my dad belonged to Jesus and Jesus is here with me, with my dad. And that's what I tried to give him today. And the senior chaplain there is a good friend of mine. We actually went to Santa Fe Community College together back in the 70s. And we talked before going in and we talked afterwards. And I told him, I said, I did what the Lord told me to do. I showed him Jesus. And he said, good, brother. That's what it's all about. I want to tell you all also things that's happening in your life. If you allow the Holy Spirit to show you, what would he see? What would you see if you were looking in the mirror and you saw you? What would you see? What would you be looking at? And if there was any part of you that you would want to change, what would that be? And go back to the day in which the Lord birthed you into his kingdom. What was that like for you? What the excitement, the zeal, the thirst for Christ to get to know him better, and the courage to share him with other people. Think about those moments. And when you do, you will understand what it's like to be a Christian in a church in Rome. Okay? Because that's where you would be in that mindset. Not knowing there were young people, Emily, in that church. And there were older people in that church and folks in between. And let's pray before I go further. Cut it off there. That's not fair to you all. Get you hyped up and then just drop you like a hot potato. Father, thank you so much for your love that you've given us. Lord Jesus, you are the fullness of God's love. You're the fullness of God's perfection and excellence and his truth, his grace, his mercy. Everything about the Father, everything we see in him is in you. And we're excited tonight how we gather together in your name to glorify Father and to glorify you. And we're here to learn from Holy Spirit what your first sinks there in Rome was, what they were experiencing. And Lord, today, There's no difference in us than them. Just different times. Same old trials and tribulations, just as your servant Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. But Lord, this time, we've been given a document called the Bible, that we have all the things that they were taught written down for us. And we have the Holy Spirit, just as they did, as our teacher and our God and our comforter. And even at times, Lord Jesus, our disciplinarian. And so, Lord, as we look at this 13th chapter, as we understand what it is that Paul is saying to these young Christians, both Jews and Gentiles, Lord, help us to see the wisdom in it. Help us to get the understanding. Help us to receive the knowledge on the table of our hearts so that we might not sin against you and that we will walk and be your living testimony, your living witnesses here on earth. Help us now, Lord, as you strengthen us. Strengthen Maurice in this hour. Watch over your children around the world, Lord Jesus, and be with Israel, Father, your chosen people. Thank you now, Lord, as we sit and wait eagerly for the presence of Holy Spirit to rise up within us, to open our mind of understanding and teach us your living word. But it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I actually found my punter. It was where I thought it was, and I just didn't look in the book good enough. And so, and there he is, ladies and gentlemen, little Max, headed this way. If you look at your handout that I gave you, kind of fill in those blanks, if you will, and use them for future reference. Because they're only going to help you grow. Only going to help you grow. And I'm going to cover those as we go along. But imagine this. You're that brand new son and daughter of God in Christ Jesus in Rome. This life is new for you. Okay? And now Paul is telling you some things that as you govern yourself accordingly to the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, as you do that in the spirit realm, you also have to do it where, Miss Vicky? If you do it, where?
Physical.
In the physical realm, because that's what this chapter is all about, okay? As you govern yourself accordingly to Christ, so you have to govern yourself here on earth. And then what's so unique about this? It's that not only by the Holy Spirit is Paul telling you that we're to govern ourselves to Jesus, but we're to govern ourselves to men. Okay? And it doesn't matter whether those men are Christians or not. Not for it comes to you obeying them. It does matter for that person, those men or women who put in position of authority, if they're in fact belong to Jesus. Okay, that does matter.
Amen.
But at the moment of you obeying what's right in God's eyes, it doesn't at that moment. Okay? So, let's take a look here in chapter 13. Very good chapter. Very good chapter. Did I hear you say that's your chapter? This is your chapter? Your favorite chapter? Authority? Okay. All right, let's take a look. Let's start on Miss Marie's side of it, and we'll go down the columns and hit it on every column. Okay? Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. All right, let's put that in perspective. Emily, do you not go to high school? Okay? Who is the governing authority in your high school?
The principal.
Your principal. All right. Miss Marie, who is the governing authority in High Springs?
The chief of police.
The chief of police? Okay, we'll take that one. And the mayor? All right. What about the county?
The county.
The county officials? The law enforcement,
governor
and up at the state level, the governor and legislators who make the law. And She can't leave my computer like that. It's going to lock up on us. All right. What about the United States, Melissa?
President, Senate.
Yeah. And who else?
Who are those other people?
Okay. Representatives? Yeah. As much as sometimes we want to call them idiots, right? Or call them stupid or whatever other names that we like to call people that get on our nerves. But are they not the governing authorities?
Yes.
All right. Whether they make great decisions or not, they're still the what?
Authority.
They're still the authorities. And whether you agree with the affiliated party, they're still the governing
authority.
That's right. And so, kind of put it in perspective a little bit, the Apostle Paul was appearing before the high priest. And Paul didn't know that he was the high priest because he wasn't in his priestly garments. And Paul called them a whitewash wall. I like that. It sounds good. It's funny. But one of the temple police reached over and slapped Paul and said, "I dare you to talk to the high priest that way." And Paul's response was, "Melissa, I didn't know he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of your leaders or authority." And that goes way back in Deuteronomy when God told them that.
Obedience.
Okay. So every time President Obama makes a decision that we don't agree with, you can't take and put a contract on his head. Okay. He really shouldn't be calling him an idiot.
We could impeach him.
Okay. There's a process, and God gives room for processes. Am I right? And so as we go through this thing, we're going to take a look just a little bit further. The second part of that, it says, "For there is no power or authority, but of who?" There is no power or authority except from where?
Which God has established.
Which God has established. Look at your sheet. What does it tell you there?
All authority came.
Uh-huh. And what is our reference there? Emily, there's a way in which you can be bouncing back and forth between the two documents, which I meant to tell you to do. Okay, just let the cursor come down to the bottom. Okay, look up on your screen. So, what Paul was reminding these people, as a sinner, he or she stood before the King of Kings and the spirit realm. Did you not know that?
Okay, yes.
When you and I got saved, our spirit symbolically stood before who? Jesus. And Jesus is the King of Kings. Or another way you can put it, we stood before the King of Glory. And then that's who? God himself. Okay? And we can make all kinds of little connections with this. And one of the connections is John 6:44, where Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Right? So the Holy Spirit is at work all around. So as a sinner, he or she stood before the King of Kings or the King of Glory. Emma, don't type it in. Would you type in that in? No. We don't want it typed in. We want to leave it blank, sweetie. It's all right. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm keeping her. Her mama can't have her back. I can do that, too. I've taught many. I was military police. Okay, so during the time in which Paul wrote this letter, guess who was the emperor?
Nero.
Anybody know anything about Nero? Tell us what you know, Chrissy. Caught you with your mouth full. What you know about Nero?
He burnt down the city and blamed the Christians.
He burnt down the city and blamed the Christians. He was also the one who had Christians impaled on poles and lit them on fire as human torches.
And the games using them.
Yeah, I mean, he was something else. You were talking about mass persecution that began under Nero, and it lasted until the days of Constantine. Okay? So, almost 300 years, Melissa. Almost 300 years. Emperor Constantine put a stop to it when supposedly he got saved. And it said the church is no longer illegal, but it's now legal, and everybody has to be a Christian to be in his kingdom. Okay? So when Paul wrote this, things was not very well for Christians. The onset of mass persecution was about to begin. And you know what? Here's the part that I want you to understand right here. That the Holy Spirit knew that the Lord's Jesus Church was going to come under heavy persecution by this wicked emperor. He knew this. And yet, God still required strict obedience of his children. Has God changed his mind?
No.
This is a chapter that's not popular among church folks.
Why?
Because we don't like to be told what to do. We like to do the telling, but we don't like to be told. Okay? This part applies to every child of God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor, doesn't matter if you're cleaning the bathrooms in the church. This applies to all of us. Okay? It's applicable to all of us. All authority comes from who? From God. Okay? And we're going to look at that a little bit farther. Now, when I put down there, explain why this is important to know, that's for you to fill in, for you to think through and understand, want you to put in your own words, your own thoughts, why do you think God says this is important? You need to know. No. Write it on your paper for your future reference. Scroll it up a little bit, Emily, please. You can see it clear on your screen. Good. So, go back to, before we go to Father, yes. It is hard to imagine that God would give authority to such wicked people. Let's talk about a few. Nebuchadnezzar. God called him his servant. Anybody know who Nebuchadnezzar was? Ever read that story, Melissa? Boy, he was something else, wasn't he? What about his grandson who decided that he wanted to throw Daniels in the lion den? What about King Herod? The first, Herod the Great, as he's known. What did he try to do? The greatest crime against humanity and God, by killing baby Jesus, who was fully God, fully man. He was the one who sent his lynchmen to kill all the babies 2 years and under, the baby boys, which brought to truth the prophecy of Jeremiah, Rachel weeping and crying for her children, for they were not. God allowed Herod to be king. Even his son, who was wicked like his daddy. What about Pharaoh? Paul would even address him, wouldn't he? Said God put Pharaoh in place for a purpose, so that God's amazing strength would be displayed in all the world. Wow. And you can go back to the sheep for a minute. So we see, we may not necessarily agree with people in positions of authority. Okay? But you need to look closer and understand who's the one responsible. Men are responsible for their behavior, but God does the appointing. But church people will argue you down that you are crazy thinking God put that man in office, knowing what he would do. You're crazy that God allowed Adolf Hitler to come into office and kill over 6 million Jews. That's not counting the 10 million Polacks or Polish people he killed. Were you aware of that? He went through Poland in 2 days. He destroyed the Polish army. Take a look. Daniel says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes times and seasons. Okay? God can change the course of history anytime he wants to. Amen. Okay? He removes who? Kings. And raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. God does whatever he wants to do. And you and I don't have anything to say about it. My thing, I always tell people, you got a problem with me? Take it up with my daddy. Because I don't have a boss over me other than Jesus himself. You got a problem? Go talk to him. Because I'm with everything within me, I'm going to stick to this blessed book. And if you got a problem with that, go tell my father. He wrote the book. Okay? So, John, in chapter 19, verse 1, tells you and I, now it really going to hit home plate, Melissa. Listen to God's son having a conversation with the governor of Israel. His name is Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, an appointed official of Rome. Okay? Who are oppressing the people of Israel. Listen to this. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, had him beat beyond recognition. And a good way to look at that is Isaiah 52, if you ever want future reference. We always like to go to 53, but go back to 52. Okay? And the soldier twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you. He sent it to the crowd, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Pilate knew he was innocent. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. You see that? Not a very good moment for our Lord, is it? And Pilate said to them, Behold the man. In other words, look at him. Jesus is now on display. That's what they did, our master. Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to do what? He ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. They didn't know anything, did they? Because the law said he is the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Scroll it up, sweetheart. If you are the governor, you are the chief authority right now in Israel. according to the emperor. And this so-called person who you are personally questioning, you didn't send one of your prosecutors to question him. You are questioning him. And he looks at you like you're crazy in your head and refuses to answer you. How would that make you feel? You'll be a little bit agitated, I suspect. Yes?
If anybody answers.
Right. So Pilate comes back and said to him, "Are you not speaking to me?" Look at the attitude. Kind of like Emily does with her mama. Just joking, Emily. You know I love you. But did Pilate knew who he was talking to?
No.
No. To him, he's just another man that's about to be killed. Didn't bother Pilate. But this one, it was bothering him. "Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Well, he really think he got one up on him, don't he? But listen what has been said next. Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above." Who's that? God himself. Even the Son once again reminded this man who's actually in charge. Hello, somebody. And that's what Paul is getting you and I to understand in this part of his letter to the church in Rome. Even though as bad as the Romans were, even as bad as our government officials are and other officials are around the world, the one true authority is God. And he's the one who points all others.
Amen.
And we're saying, what? What did the Son of God just say to Pilate? "You have no power over me unless it's been given to you from where?" God. From above, God himself. Mm-hmm. Hello, Your Honor, I rest my case. All right, therefore the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Emily, go back to the...
Sorry.
Her AWOL.
I couldn't find the corpse.
So, here we are once again. Church people. Out picking in the police. Church people picking in Capitol buildings of every state. Church buildings. They're out, church folks picketing the mayor's office, chief of police. Why? If they're taking heed to this. Not a popular teaching now, huh?
No.
I remember, y'all remember the movie, The Last Temptation of Christ? Melissa, I don't think you was born then, sweetie. Maybe. How old are you?
31.
You were a baby. You were, wait a minute, let me think. You were born in?
84.
Yeah, it came out, you was a little girl. Came out, I think, 1987. Anyway, you know what Christians did? They went to the movies and they began to picket the movies. And I said, you know what you all are doing? I said, you're giving the devil exactly what he wants. Attention. Because if this thing is bad mouthing Christ our Lord, God's going to get him for that. You just go on your knees and tell him. Say, Father, look what they're saying about your son. Look what they're saying about my Lord. Lord Jesus, look what they're doing to you, to your great name. And he could go, I know. And I'm so glad you're concerned. The battles are won on our knees. When we put on the whole armor of God. That's a sermon that's coming too. The Holy Spirit got them lined up for us. I tell you, he put me to work the other night looking through this stuff. Now, so here we are. The powers that be are ordained of God. You don't like Barack Obama?
Too bad.
Check it up with God. You don't like Governor Scott? Check it up with God.
I liked Obama when he was with the Pope. He was so nice.
I had a problem with the Pope the other day. I had a serious problem with him. But you know what?
Why they talked about?
I took it up with God.
No. I told my wife on one. About Pope that I thought it was nice.
Okay. I love the man. I don't love what he stands for. And that's what we're going to see in this chapter. We don't have to agree with policy, but we got to love the people.
Amen.
Paul is showing this church Jesus. Jesus didn't like the religious establishment of his day. He still doesn't like him around the world. But he still went to the cross for all of us. Lord Jesus Christ still went to the cross for all of us. Okay? Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. One translation says damnation, but I was reading and studying this. It's not necessarily eternal damnation, but it means while you're yet living on earth, there are consequences to our actions. You shoot at the police, what he's going to do?
Shoot back.
He's going to shoot back. You cuss your boss out, what is he going to do?
Fire you.
He's going to fire you. You talk bad about, if you go on Facebook or any social media or text something or say something on the phone that goes through the lines of scrutiny through national security, every text does, hello. Every cell phone call, every Facebook, every internet message gets scrutinized by thousands of government workers. And the moment they think there's a threat to national security or to the president of the United States, which also makes it national security, guess what they're going to come doing?
Arrest you.
They're going to come knocking.
Hunt you down.
They're going to hunt you down. And you know what? God says they have that authority from him to do that. You're going, preacher, you're absolutely out of your mind today. This is bad teaching. No. As bad as Nero was, those Christians were at ground zero in Rome, where the emperor headquarters were. As bad as things were there, Paul said, you still got to be a lawful, abiding citizen. Period. You just can't go and do what you want to do. I'm not subject to the laws of man because I belong to Jesus. And God said, wrong. You want to represent me? I'm going to show you how to represent me. This is how. Okay? Again, not a very popular teaching, huh?
Except for when it goes against God.
When it goes against God, then we have the God-given right to say, no, that's contrary to my Father's word. And I refuse on the ground of Jesus Christ, the authority of God in me, to obey that.
To bow down and worship this idol.
Okay. Tell them no. So, when you and I are out there speeding, and the speed limit says, and I am guilty, Melissa. Yes. Okay. And I asked the Lord to help me, and working on it. I was watching it very carefully today, but you know, I still messed up, but I'm working on it. And the more, you know, God got a way of really getting you too. He has a great sense of humor. And the more I wanted to speed, the more this lesson came up on me.
Gotcha.
Yes. Verse 3. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right. Okay? That means they don't have a right to go and torture you, Melissa, because you're living righteously. They don't have a right to just come and burn your house down and take your property. Okay? You remember that junk happened back in England. The tyranny that was going on from King James. I mean, what's his name during the time in which they were there? And the founding fathers, their parents fled England because the king, he had lost his mind. Well, on the eminent domain, the government is still taking people's property. Okay? In the name of eminent domain. All right, let's move on. So rulers are not to be terror. You're out doing what's right. The police shouldn't pull you over and harass you. The governor shouldn't take your land. Okay? You're doing what's right. You shouldn't have to worry about losing your job, Melissa, if you're doing what's right. Emily shouldn't have to worry about getting kicked out of school if you're doing what's right. Okay? God expects leaders to do what's right. That's what he's saying there. But for those who do wrong, then you got a right to fear. Because God said, go get them. Mr. Policeman, you have a right to pull them over. Not because man said so, but because God said, go get him. When you're out there beating somebody up, you got a right to go and be arrested. And if the law of the land says to beat you with stripes, then guess what? They have the right to beat you with stripes. I witnessed that one time in Saudi Arabia. I watched a grown man handcuffed standing by the mosque, and a police officer, a crowd of people around, and I watched and watch them beat this man with a cane pole, with the whip. And so it's amazing. It's amazing what God is doing. It's amazing. And so those officers were not wrong for beating that man publicly. Okay? We may not agree with it. Saying, why couldn't they do it in secret? Hey, he didn't do his stuff in secret when he jumped on that man at that gas station with that crowbar. So they whipped his butt openly. They were, huh? Consequences are within their rights. All right, moving right along. So, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? No one should have to live in a society where the governing authority are oppressing the people. No one should have to live under the strain of tyranny. Okay? Just because you're the leader doesn't give you the right to make life difficult for people. A classic example, Lord Jesus tells us, Matthew records it in chapter 11, I think the last two verses there. It says, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened down." Why? Well, why would Lord Jesus say that? Because the religious leaders of Israel had oppressed the people with their oral traditions. They made life miserable for those people. Life wasn't supposed to be that way. I've gone in churches where the pastor was really tyrants over God's people. They're going, "What? You're kidding me. No one should make you feel like that." Our responsibility as men and women of God is to make you feel the love of Christ, to help you feel God's presence. And if you've done wrong, our job in loving kindness is to get with you and say, "Listen, brother, or listen, sister, according to God's word, this is where you are." Now, if you call that judging, you take that up with God. But God says, do that. Okay? Not to condemn a person to hellfire. That's not our position. Okay? Now, so, Paul really puts it in a good way here. He says, now, if you do what is good and you will have praise from the same. Emily, if you're doing what's right in school, the principal have a right from God to come and pat you on the back. Say, "Hey, Emily, good job. I appreciate that. You're a role model and you're a great example of what a good student needs to be and is." You who obey the law, the police officer have a right to say, "Hey, good job." Today, I stopped two police officers at the intersection, and they rolled down the window. I said, "Thank you for what you're doing." And they said, "We appreciate that." And I said, "Tell your boss, Chief Jones, that," I said, "by the way, I remember Chief Jones when I was a teenager in the Explorer program back in the 70s. And both police officers says to me, "We weren't even born in the 70s. This is me right here, 1976, a police explorer. I'm a junior in high school. And so those guys said, "We wasn't even born." So Chief Jones was a rookie. He's been around a long time. So, and I have been privileged that I can go to Chief Jones' office. I can call him up on his cell phone, and I have. And I've had a one-on-one meeting with him. And he always give me that ear. Chief Jones is also a Christian man. He loves the Lord. And he doesn't mind standing up at the podium at public speaking and tell you, "I love Jesus." Same thing with Sheriff Sadie. I can go right to her office. And as a matter of fact, I need to remind her. She said she was going to come here and shoot pool with the kids. So I need to go see her and remind her. But people will praise you in position of authority. They will tell you you're doing something wonderful. Okay? Same thing in the military. I used to tell my soldiers all the time, "Good job, good job, good job." But there are other times I said, "Boy, somebody need to give you a swift kick somewhere. Scrape your butt up." Okay? I know we're recorded live around the world. That's okay. But that was the mentality I had as a 21-year-old sergeant. But when the Lord saved me at 23, my mentality changed. The Lord took away the world and gave me Jesus.
Good.
All right. Yeah. So we're doing great here. Verse 4. Emily, can you shift the stuff up for me?
Can we use this one?
You can use either one. Use this one. Right here. Right here. Go up. No, Emily. Use this one. Click on it. There you go. One more. There you go. Now, go to that other little funny looking box right here, and that'll bring everything across the line. See? Super. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Look on your sheets. That tell you that people in position of authority are God's servants. Okay? They are God's servants. They're God's servants. You're going, you're kidding me. Obama is God's servant. Governor Scott is God's servant. I want you to look again. For he is God's servant to do you good. Look up here so you don't think I made it up. So you mean to tell me all these governors in these 50 United States, that one man in the White House, and all of his other cabinet members, our legislative branches, everybody in position of authority over us, the word of God says that they are God's what?
Servants.
Hello. So why you want to go against God by going against his servants?
No.
Does this give you a different perspective at looking at government now?
Yeah.
But doesn't the government allow us to picket and allow us to speak up?
Yes, there is a way to do it with respect. But if you oppose them, God says if there's a rule in place that requires you to obey it, as long as it doesn't require you to give up your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, then we need to be respecting that authority. We need to be respecting it. And pray God will give us a better person.
Well, we're supposed to support, like, the Supreme Court for what they did.
Supreme Court, what the... Miss Marie, the Supreme Court makes a legal law. The Supreme Court, according to the Constitution of the United States, never is authorized by the Constitution to make law. Their job is to interpret law. There's a big difference. We have one legislative branch. That's Congress.
Are we allowed to speak against it, though?
Yes. The voice...
According to
God? Yes. According to God's word, we can speak out because we are a government of the people, by the people. And if they are doing something wrong, the masses can speak and say, hey, this is wrong.
Because
that's our freedom.
According to their law, if a gay couple comes in here, you have to marry them.
If that gay couple come in here and say, I have to marry him, I pull out the word of God. It says God's word just superseded what the Supreme Court said.
Okay.
See, but that's not the same thing. That's your right as a private, as a minister, that's your right to refuse to do their marriage. It's not the same thing as the courthouse refusing to give them their documents.
There's a difference. Yeah. When authority is doing it, there's a difference. But my right as a man of God, I have that right to do what? Like Melissa said, yes, I have that right to say no. Mm-hmm. But if they're representing their authority, then they don't have that right to give that up. Unless they resign and say, look, I no longer want to be a part of this, then I'm going to step out of the way.
But they made a law and they shipped them.
Like I said, when man laws clash with God, guess who wins?
God.
Every time. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's supposed to be that simple. But people don't want it to be.
They don't follow it.
All right, so without getting too much debate about the constitutional standings.
I'm terrible.
No, you're not. For he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. All right, for he is God's servant. He mentions it again. Isn't that interesting? That means, do you think maybe you want to get the point across? An agent of wrath to bring punishment on wrongdoers. For many years, as a Christian man, I opposed the death penalty.
I do too.
Until finally one day, I got a brother in Christ, new assignment. He said, Samuel, let me show you from God's word. I said, man, I know the word of God. He said, allow the spirit to open your eyes, brother. I said, okay. He said, look at this. If they done this wrong, if they erroneously kill a person, God will get them. But if they do it according to God's word, because in the Old Testament, do you see anywhere where God told them to stop stoning people who kill people? I didn't. Did you? I didn't see it.
I don't believe it. Killing no one.
It's lawful. It is lawful in the eyes of God. Some things man refused to carry out because they didn't agree with God. Did you know in the Bible, in the days of Israel of old, if you had a son who refuses to do what you say, who was ruling and out of control, you were to take that child, not a small child, but a child of age, take that child to the rulers of your town. And they was to take, the elders was to protect, I'm getting tongue tied. Take that child outside of the city or outside of the village and stone that child to death. It used to be a law on the books in this country under the old English common law. They had that law also, big brother, until it was repealed. Moving on. We're doing great. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. You hit somebody because you weren't paying attention to the crosswalk and you kill them. Who now hath to bear the conscience of killing a human being when you're supposed to have been paying attention to the crosswalk? In the state of Florida, those crosswalks is illegal for you to continue on if a person is standing up at the crosswalk. You're supposed to stop and let that person cross. That's a state law. But you know how many people I see pass right by this crosswalk over here and never stop? I've even screamed at them, say, hey, I'm standing here waiting to cross. Or, hey, she's standing waiting to cross. You know how many times I've seen the police go by and people standing there? The ones who's supposed to be enforcing it.
So what about the lights that are there for that?
Jaywalking. There are two terms in law, one called malum in se, and the other one is malum prohibited. Malum in se says that by nature, it is wrong for you to kill a man. Malum prohibited says it's by man's law it's wrong for you to do this act, such as jaywalking. You don't walk against the traffic light. You get yourself at the crosswalk and you walk with the flow of traffic. And if you don't, that's jaywalking. And you can be cited for it. Only because the law says it's wrong. That's malum prohibited. But if you go and you kill a fellow human being by the law of God that's put in place in humanity, every tribe on the face of the earth knows it is wrong for you to kill someone. That's malum in se. Okay? So, there are natural laws and then there are man-made laws that we're supposed to be governed by. All right? Verse 6, for this cause you pay ye tribute also, or pay what? For this cause, this is why you pay taxes. And boy, we don't like that. We don't like that part. Emily, I'm sorry, darling. Can you go to our worksheet here? I want to show you something. Why it is a necessity from heaven that you pay your taxes, whether you agree with them or not. Okay? Go scroll up to the next sheet. Okay, thank you. All people in position of authority are servants of God. We know that, right? And then in verse 7, is it lawful for a Christian to pay taxes? Yes or no?
Yes.
Why is it yes? Here's why. Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him. In other words, Jesus knew what was on Peter's mind. Saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, scroll it up, Emily, for me, please. Emily, scroll it up for me, sweetheart. Not so. Go slower with this old boy. Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the what? The fish that comes up first, and when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Jesus paid taxes. Our Lord paid taxes. Okay? As sons of the kingdom and daughters of the kingdom, we are free from this world system. But he said, unless we offend them, let's go on and pay them. Okay? Let's go on and pay them. So, Emily, go back to the text, please. I know what he said. But anyway, let's look up here. Verse 7. Let's go back to verse 6. So this is why you pay taxes for the authorities or God's servants. That's the third time it's mentioned. Who give their full time to governing. So we got to take care of them. It's a job. It's a full-time job to govern people. It really is. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Give what's owed to people. And God knows, he understands that most of us don't have $100,000 or $200,000 to pay cash for a home. But he does expect us to pay our debts. Okay? He expects that. Do our part. Let no debt remain outstanding. See that? Except the continuing debt to love one another. And you see that on your sheet about love. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. And the Greek word there on your sheet there is agape, or agape, that I put on your worksheet for you to fill out. That means unconditional love. That means you love that police officer, you love that governor, you love that principal, you love that school teacher, you love your boss, okay? And Paul even covers that in Ephesians chapter 6 when he talked about master, serving your master. Not as men pleaser or I pleasing, okay? But do it to God. Do it for God. Love your bosses. Love those who are in position of authority over you, okay? Love them, love them, love them. You're crazy. I'm not going to love Obama. You better.
I do.
I just touched you.
You know I'm mad at him.
But you gotta love him. I don't care how many idiots you call him, you still need to not do that. Don't call him an idiot. Just pray for him. Pray for him. And imagine if you're that one person in that seat trying to govern 300 million people.
You should have took the job.
Hey? God allowed it to happen. Okay? Now, so, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. If everybody was following this rule, we wouldn't have jailhouses.
That's right.
And half of the morticians would be out of a job. And over half of the hospitals would be out of work. If people love their neighbors. Because most sickness and disease is caused by hateful neighbors. Most death are caused by hateful neighbors. And I'm not simply talking about the person that lives next door to you. I'm talking about the person that lives in the house with you. Because they're also your neighbor. Family members are not excluded from this. Okay? We'll march them right along. So, don't do any harm. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You don't want to break the law? Love. I love God. I love my country. I love my neighbor. I love my family. I certainly love my church family. I love my Lord Jesus. Oh, my, I love my Lord Jesus. Then don't put the pedal to the metal with your foot. Remember who you love because he said to obey. Boy, I'm working on this one, Lord Jesus.
No, and a whole.
I do. And a whole bunch of other things I'm working on. All right. Thank you, Emily, for reconciling. And do this understanding the present time. Hello. Understand the present time. Look where you're at. Look in the time period which we're in. All right. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Church, what Paul was saying, that it's time for passive Christianity to go away. There were Christians of his day in this church were doing absolutely nothing. And Paul saying, hello, the Holy Spirit is saying to you and I, it's still applicable today. Wake up, Mr. and Mrs. Christian. Do something. Get busy in the kingdom. Busy loving people. Get busy obeying the law. Get busy showing Jesus. Okay? Showing them and sharing them. Then he says, I like this one for the night. I mean, and know that our salvation is nearer than when we believe or when we first believe. Chris said, when you believe X number of days ago, Jesus is closer to coming than he was then. That's what he's saying, Melissa. The moment that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of time has expired. Mm-hmm. And that means even if it's one day for you, that's one day you're closer to Jesus coming. Okay? So look at these times and say, we better get ready. That's right. Amen. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. I like what he put here. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. You want to show the world you belong to Jesus? Stop opposing it so much and start loving it. Did you get that? Time is short, Paul said. Let's show these Romans who we really are. Let's show Nero and the whole clan of the army of the Roman Empire. Let's show them who we are. Let's show them Jesus by showing Jesus to them in us. Okay? How we treat you and how we treat one another. That's what this whole thing is all about. Let us behave decently. All right, there's a couple of things going to be pointed out here. Let us behave decently. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness. You know how folks like to get out there and party and have fun and act crazy? God says, stop it. Now that you belong to Jesus, stop it. You don't have to run to the nightclubs now. People say, oh, you can be a saint and still run. Yeah, go ahead. And see how far that'll get you in your holiness with the Lord. Okay? Also, there's another thing that he tells you and I. Sexual immorality in the NIV side. On the NAU side, it says not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. Anybody know what sensuality is? Anybody want to throw a shot at it? All right. You know how guys like to show their six-pack or lack thereof? So they can arouse the opposite sex? That's sensuality. You know how girls like to walk with their shorts with their cheeks hanging out? That's sensuality. Or dresses too short, or anything that's provocative. And I know you have a teenage daughter over there, and I watch my tongue. But she needs to know, it's just as much sin for her to show it that it is for a guy want to look at it. All right? That's what he's talking about there. That's what sensuality is. The world calls it being sexy. Okay? God said, no. Do I need to say more on that? Okay. I thought so. And then, this is the same word. Debauchery is the same as sensuality. Debauchery is when you dress in such a fashion that you're edging on the opposite sex, in some cases in this country and other parts of the world, the same sex. It's your way of mating call. Okay? And God said, don't do it. Alright? And then he goes on to tell you and I, not in dissension. What is dissension? Here's a form of it. You know that Vicky thinks she's something else. She thinks she's hot stuff. Because she can play the piano and know all them notes. And she think all of us dumb because we can't read music.
Causing trouble.
There you go. You see what I was just doing? Did you see that, Melissa?
She was believing that.
Did I have her worked up there for a second?
She was
starting. Look at this. She thinks she hot stuff. She thinks she's smart. She thinks she's smarter than everybody. She ain't the only one got some sense.
She walks away when she wants.
That's right. No, when she wants to, got to go look for it. Pastor don't tell me what to do. Okay? Dissension. Always start in trouble.
Right.
When I was coming to First Sergeant, I used to tell people when they used to run them off, First Sergeant, so-and-so said, I said, go get him. And they go, well, I said, now you sit your butt down. You and I are going to have a talk. Don't come in my office line again. Because if you got something to say about somebody, you go get them and bring them in here. And you be a witness to what they're telling you. All right? Jealousy. Boy, that old green-eyed monster always keeps stuff going, don't he? Whew! I've never been in a culture other than the United States where this is more prevalent. Jealousy. He just jealous of me because I got a nice car. He just jealous of me because I got a good job. He just jealous of me because of my looks. Whatever you want to plug in there. Right? Whatever it is, you just name it. And people plug it in, okay? Rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I don't like that translation. The Greek word there, I believe, is epithema. Yeah, I think it is. Emily, do me a favor. Let's go down here, all the way down to the bar. Go here. Okay, click on this side. I want to bring this one up. Amen.
It's not working.
All right. Then you're going to have to minimize this one. No, no, no. Hit the dash bar, not the X. There you go. All right. Go to the bottom, the last verse, right here. Look at me. Come right here. Go ahead. Scroll it, baby. Give it to me. All right. Hold it, freeze. Yeah, the Greek word is epithemai. Okay. Just put your cursor on it, Emily. Put your put your cursor on it, and we're getting ready to start. We're going to close with this. Right here, put your cursor on it. Look in the box, everybody. Desire, longing, lust, passion, covetousness. Typically, epithemai is translated as lust. Okay? So, instead of going and fulfilling the desires of your lust, or the lust of your flesh, put on Jesus. Hard lesson for a young church, huh? Get it together, Mr. and Mrs. Roman Church. 2,000 years later, get it together, Mr. and Mrs. Christian of the 21st century. Okay? The Jesus Christ love you. It has not changed. People are still bucking authority, trying to figure out how they can get around it. How can I get out of paying my taxes? That's a big one, isn't it? How can I get around this rule or that rule? Beating the system. That's what they like to call it. In our younger days, we call it bucking the system. People hadn't changed. God doesn't like it when we buck the system. Because we do this to one another, we'll also do it to who? To Him. Lord Jesus does not like that. Okay? Any questions? Pretty good lesson. Different level today, huh? What's a necessary level? All right, let's pray, and then Melissa can go get the clan. Father, thank you so much for your living word today. We're praying, Lord, that all those who hear your word that's been struggling, Lord, with obedience, including myself, we're asking that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you help us, Lord Jesus, to submit to authority by first submitting to you, Lord God. And you told us to do that. And Father, we love you. And help us to show authority out here that we belong to you, Lord Jesus. And we're asking you this now in your precious name we pray. Amen. Yes. Amen. All right. And look, Deke,